Romans chapter number 10 tonight. Romans chapter 10. And in a moment, we'll begin our study tonight in verse 17. And we have been in the book of Romans for quite a while now on Sunday nights. We've made it to the 10th chapter. And really, the book of Romans is the foundation for our faith. It has been called, and perhaps my favorite title for the book is The Constitution of Christianity. I think it's a very fitting title. It's the solid rock upon which we stand. And I suppose the book of Romans, more than any other book, tells us about the grace of God. Now, I love the word grace. I love it. It's a beautiful word. I think the only word more beautiful than the word grace to me is the name Jesus Christ. But grace. Someone has defined grace with this acrostic, said that it is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I think that's a decent, good definition of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That simply means that Jesus Christ, on the cross, dying in agony, shedding his blood for our sins, provides for us all the riches of God. And that is grace. We studied about it the last 2 weeks. And if you recall, that verse says, "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." The grace of God. But we're going to transition in our study of the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, to the subject of faith tonight. We've looked at grace for 2 weeks. Now let's move to faith, because both are dynamic. Faith lays a hold of what grace provides. Now, without faith, there's no way that you are going to acquire the grace of God. The grace of God can come into your life only through the means of faith. That's why Paul would write to the church at Ephesus and say in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Now, what is faith? Someone defined it with this acrostic. Said, "Forsaking all, I trust him." Forsaking all, I trust him. And I think that's a good definition as well. Forsaking my good works, forsaking my sin, forsaking my good intentions, forsaking all that I am by nature and by the first birth. Forsaking all of that, I turn my back on that, and I trust Jesus Christ. And so grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Faith is forsaking all, I trust him. And someone said, "So when I put my hand of faith in God's hand of grace, salvation takes place. For by grace are you saved through faith." And so when Paul tells us about grace, as he's done, he then moves to tell us about faith and what faith is and how we can understand it and how it applies to our life. Again, it's what makes grace available and real to us. Grace is God's ability. Faith is your and my responsibility. Jesus died, but we must believe and receive, or the death of Jesus Christ does us no good. It does us no good. And so it's our responsibility to respond to the grace of God. All that we receive, all that we have, we receive by faith. You want to be saved? Romans 5:2 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You want to be sanctified? The Bible says, "Sanctifying our hearts through faith." You want to overcome the world? The Bible says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And so it's faith that is this channel, this medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. That's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, he said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." That is the measure. Your faith is the measure of your victory, your success. All of the things that grace provides comes to us by faith. And so it's really important that you know what faith is. And so now, the Apostle Paul, who's been talking about the grace of God, talks about faith in that grace, beginning in verse number 17. Notice what the Bible says. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, if they not heard, yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth. And by the way, he's quoting scripture here. He's quoting, and I forget the exact psalm, but the psalms that say that the knowledge of the Lord is seen in nature throughout all the earth. That's what he's quoting. Notice in the latter part of verse 18, and their words unto the ends of the world. Verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provide you, or I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that have asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We'll stop our reading there this evening. That's the text we'll deal with tonight. Now, we're going to think about the subject, the doctrine of faith, over the next 2 weeks at least. And to really get into it, let me just jump right in by saying this, that a lack of faith is not weakness. A lack of faith is literally wickedness. No one has the excuse to say they cannot believe, because the Lord, and I've heard Brother Mark say this numerous times, that the Lord has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And so unbelief is a terrible sin. It's a horrible sin. As a matter of fact, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says, He that believeth not God has made him a liar. And so literally unbelief is a slander against the character of God. It was unbelief that led Eve to that sin in the Garden of Eden. It was unbelief that locked the doors of the promised land to the children of Israel, that caused them to wander in the wilderness. Ultimately, it's unbelief that will send a man or a woman to a devil's hell. Listen to this scripture. John chapter 3, verse 18. The words of Jesus to Nicodemus. Listen, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, there are some people that will tell you that Jesus only died for a select few, but that's not what the Gospel of John says. It says the only reason men are not saved is not because Jesus didn't die for them, but because they didn't believe. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. And so Jesus died, salvation is there, but they refuse to believe, and therefore they're not saved. And so unbelief is certainly not weakness. Unbelief is wickedness. Unbelief never comes out of the head. People don't have intellectual problems. That might show up as an intellectual problem, but ultimately it comes from the heart. And the Bible is very clear. The Bible says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. As a matter of fact, over in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, you remember the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. The way that we live the Christian life is, and again, quoting Brother Mark, he's here tonight, I'll quote him again. The way that we live the Christian life is not by striving, and it's not by trying, it's by trusting, it's by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, saying all that is just kind of the front porch that gets us into the house. I want us to really take a deep look tonight in Romans chapter 10 at exactly what real biblical faith is, because there are a lot of things that are called faith in today's world that just aren't faith at all. Notice with me, number one, the object of our faith. The object of it. What I mean by that is what do you place your faith in? And again, this is important because so many people call a lot of things faith that just aren't faith. Some people say, well, just believe, you know, it's positive thinking. Listen, I'm all for positive thinking. And I'm very much in favor of positive thinking. Very much so. But positive thinking is not faith. Someone says, well, just hope for the best. Give it your best or whatever. That's faith. It's not faith. They have all kinds of ideas about what faith is, but faith is no better than its object. Misplaced faith is a terrible thing. That's when you put faith in the wrong place. You've got to put your faith in the right place, literally the right person, or else it's not faith. Someone said, well, put faith in faith. All that is positive thinking. What's the object of our faith? The object of our faith is Almighty God. As a matter of fact, if you're in chapter 10, look in verse 11, if you will. The Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believes," now watch this, "on him." On him, you ought to underline that. "On him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believes on him." And so the object of your faith is him. It's Almighty God. There is nothing magical about believing. There's nothing mystical. There's nothing weird about believing. Faith is no better than its object. Someone says, well, faith moves mountains. It's not true. It's not true. It's God that moves mountains. It's God that moves mountains. Now pay attention, it's not faith that moves mountains, it's God. The Bible in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, in that context, the Bible says Jesus answered them and said, "Have faith in God." Your faith is no better than its object. And a lot of people misplace their faith. That they put faith in faith, that's positive thinking. They'll put faith in hoping for the best or giving it your best or whatever, and that's not faith. I heard about a little boy came home from school and his dad said, "Well, how'd you do on your math test today?" And he said, "Well, Daddy, I think I flunked my math test." The father said, "Well, you need to be more positive than that." He said, "Okay, Daddy, I'm positive I flunked my math test." Positive thinking is not faith. Faith in faith is not faith. You've got to have faith in God. And if you put your faith in anything else, the example is used, positive thinking, whatever, then you're going to be very, very discouraged. And you're going to get let down. There are people that will tell you, and you don't have to travel very far in this city to hear this kind of preaching, that if you believe it, you can achieve it. And all of this and all of that, and they'll tell athletes this, and they'll tell salesmen this, and their training, and all these people, but it's just not true. It's just not true. Just because you can believe something does not mean you can achieve something. And just because you think you can do something does not mean you can do it. And after a while, you're going to find yourself so discouraged. And the devil is going to use that. And he's going to tell you, you really don't have what it takes. Listen to me. Your faith is no better than the object of your faith. It has to be placed in the right object. And of course, that object is God. Someone says, "Well, I have weak faith." Well, weak faith in the right object is better than misplaced faith in the wrong object. Weak faith in God is a lot better than strong faith in anything else. Don't get the idea because your faith is weak that it won't work. You may be afraid to fly on an airplane, but if you get on it, you've exercised faith in that airplane, and you're just as safe as the pilot. It's weak faith, but it's faith. If faith is what counts, it's not the size of your faith, it's the object that really counts. And boy, there are a lot of people that fail to understand this. It's interesting, if you'll look through the grand story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, what you'll find is that almost everybody who really was used of God and that got a blessing from God, almost all had what you and I would consider weak faith. A few had very strong faith, but most of them had what we would say is weak faith. You remember on one occasion there was a man whose son was demon-possessed, and he came to Jesus, and he said something like this. He said, "Master," he said, "if you can do anything for my little boy," he said, "please do it." Jesus looked at him, and he said this. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And you know what the man said? He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." You ever been there? You ever been there? We all have. "Lord, I believe. Lord, I have faith, but Lord, it's weak. Lord, I need some help." Spurgeon, the great prince of preachers, said, "A trembling hand can still receive a wonderful gift." It's not faith in faith. It's not the quality of your faith. It's the object of your faith that really counts. And so now that we know the object of our faith is God, what should your response to that be? To know Him, to know God. And that's the reason the Bible says, and we looked at it Wednesday night, that we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, if you look to yourself, you're going to be discouraged, you're going to be weak, Put your eyes upon Him. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Your great need today, the great need of the world today, is to learn of Him, to know Him. And if the object of your faith is God, then the ambition of your heart ought to be to know Him more. And I'll tell you, I can speak from experience here, the more you know about Him, the more you're going to find faith as the byproduct of that. When you look to Jesus, when you discover the God of the Bible, when you come to see Him, you're going to find that faith will just naturally manifest in your heart and in your life. There's the object of our faith. Think about, secondly, though, the origin of it. The origin of it. Now, if the object of faith is God, to trust God, then you've got to hear from Him. And so the origin of the faith, of your faith, is the Word of God. The object of faith is God Himself. The origin is you've got to hear from Him. You've got to hear from Him. And notice in verse 11, and so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Drop down to verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? Now that's a very logical question. Drop back to verse 8. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. But what saith thee? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word faith. And so the object of faith is God Himself. You must know Him. You must know Him. But the origin of your faith is the word of that God. You've got to hear Him. You've got to hear Him. You have to learn to listen to God if you want faith. You cannot pray outside of the will of God and get your prayer answered. And in order to pray in the will of God, you've got to hear the Word of God. Now, where does this faith come from? You're not going to generate it. You're not going to create it. You're not going to clench your fist and grit your teeth and say, I'm going to believe. No, no, no. Faith comes. Faith cometh. Look in verse 17, by hearing. That is, it comes from an outside source. You're not going to generate this faith. Now, you've got to differentiate in what kind of faith we're talking about. You can have natural faith in the natural realm. We all live by natural faith. You're putting faith in the chair that you're sitting in right now. I'm putting faith on the structural integrity of this platform right now. There's rain in the forecast. We're all putting faith on the engineers who designed the roof of this building and the constructors who put the roof in. You go eat at a restaurant tonight. You're going to put faith in the cook of that restaurant. That's natural faith. We all live by faith every day in that sense. Brother Malcolm Ellis was here in January. He said this. He said the doctor tells us we have a disease we've never heard of. He writes a prescription that we cannot read for a medicine that we cannot pronounce the name. We take that to a pharmacist that we do not know, who gives us a liquid that tastes like poison, that we take, and then we go back and get some more of it. That's faith, but that's faith in the natural realm. We're not talking about that. We're talking about biblical faith in the supernatural realm. You don't generate that. God gives that. You're not going to work it up. The interesting verse in 2 Peter chapter number 1, I think it's verse number 1. Peter said, he talks about those who have attained precious faith. Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, for unto you is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. That is your faith. Believing on Him is given to you. Nobody can believe in God unless God enables that person to believe. Now, we've already said God has already given every man a measure of faith. But the only way that you can believe in God is to hear from God and to hear His Word. And the instrument that God uses to enable you to believe is His Word. Someone said faith is a leap in the dark. It's not. It's a step in the light. You hear from God. But without a word from God, listen to me real carefully, without a word from God, you have no basis for faith. Again, you won't have to travel very far in this city to find a worship service where someone will tell you to name it and claim it. That is absurd. It is absurd. You cannot claim it until God first names it. And if God doesn't name it, then you can't claim it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We just looked at it in Hebrews chapter 11 a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. Verse number 1, here's the description of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember we talked about that word hope, and matter of fact, gave a whole sermon on that word hope. Know what biblical hope is. It's not maybe. In modern English, it might be maybe, but in the Bible, the word hope is dead. It's dead rock assurance. It's based upon the Word of God. We call the second coming of Jesus Christ what? Our blessed hope. It doesn't mean the second coming of Christ is a blessed maybe. It's a blessed certainty. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It is based upon the Word of God. The point I'm making is this. The object of your faith is God. The origin of your faith is the Word of God. If you don't hear from God, you'll never have faith. Let me put it like this. If you don't hear God, not just hear from God, if you don't hear God, you'll never have faith. It's the Word of God that brings faith in your heart. Verse 17, again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we need to clarify some things here before we move on. The word that's translated there is not the word. The word that's translated word, let me interject that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That word, word, is not the Greek word logos. The word logos is typically the word used, and it just means the revelation of God's Word. It's what you're holding in your hand tonight. This is the logos. We call it the Word of God, the Bible. That's the logos. But this is a different word. In the Greek text, this word, you ought to mark this down, is the Greek word rhema. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. And that word means the communication of the Word of God. Not just the Word of God. And certainly I'm not downplaying the Word of God or denouncing it, but it's not the Bible that you hold in your hand that's going to give you faith. It's God speaking to you out of that Bible that's going to give you faith. It's not the Logos in your hand. That's the Word of God. But you need God to speak to you through His Word. You need a communication. You need a rhema from the Word of God. For isn't it true that you can hear every word that I have to say this evening and go home and not have faith? But if God speaks to your heart, you've got to hear from God. You've got to get a communication from God. And my job is not to just give you a nice little alliterated sermon outline. My job is to get you to listen to God as God speaks to you through His Word. You've got to hear from God. You've got to hear more than a sermon. You've got to hear more than your pastor. You've got to literally hear your God. Again, verse 14, how shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And so, the object of our faith is God Himself. The origin of our faith is the Word of God, to hear from God, to get a word from God. But what is, thirdly, the objective of our faith? That is, why does God use faith? What is faith all about? Is faith something that you can, put in your wallet and spend on whatever you want? That is, you just say, well, I've got faith that I'm going to get a bigger house, or I have faith that I'm not going to be sick, that I'm going to get well, or I've got faith, that I'm going to get that bright red Corvette. Is that what faith is all about? Faith is not man's way of getting man's will done on earth. Faith is God's way of getting God's will done in heaven and earth. Now, it's very important that you see this, because a lot of us think that faith is something that we can use selfishly. We can use for ourselves. But look in verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. So that's the will of God, that you be saved. Drop down to verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so the preacher is to be sent. Preacher doesn't originate his own message. I don't sit back there in my study and say, now what do I want folks to hear this week? What do I think will be some good ideas to help them along? That's not how this works. No. I'm a messenger boy. Running with glad tidings. I've been sent where God says, go tell them this. Faith is God's way of getting things done that He wants done through us. And so that's the objective of faith. The object of faith is God Himself. The origin of faith is the Word of God. The objective of faith is the will of God. And if you're not interested in the will of God, forget faith. Forget faith. And so what should you do? If the object of faith is God, then you need to get to know Him. You need to get to know Him. If the origin of faith is the Word of God, then you need to start listening to Him. And if the objective of faith is the will of God, then you need to submit to Him. God doesn't give His faith to those that just constantly rebel against Him. Learn to trust the Lord. Let Him stay in control. That's the objective of faith. Fourthly, notice the operation of faith. I'll wrap this up with this point. What's the operation of faith? It's to obey God. It's obedience. Now, for the object of faith to be God, you need to get to know Him. If that's true, and it is, then the origin of faith is the Word of God. You need to listen to Him. The objective of faith is the will of God. You need to submit to Him. The operation of faith in your life is the work of God, and so you need to obey Him. And watch this. If you say that you believe God, but you don't obey God, you don't really believe God. Faith is belief that has legs attached. Faith obeys. Faith, real Bible faith, is obedient. Now, if we believe, obviously, it's because God has enabled us to believe. But if we don't believe, we're the ones held responsible. As a matter of fact, look, if you will, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily their sound went out unto all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Now, watch verse 21. But to Israel, He said, and notice this phrase, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, they have not all obeyed the gospel. You must obey the gospel. All day long, God says, have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient people, a gainsaying people. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know what disobedience is. It's not obeying. But what about gainsaying? We don't use that word very often today, but it means obstinate people. People who just refuse the Word of God. And so here's the Word of God. It goes forth. You remember, it's already in your mouth and already in your heart. I've put it there this evening. Here's the Word of God. It goes forth. God is stretching out His hands. And there are some people who have this mindset. They'll say something like this. Well, God just calls some, but not all. And when God calls some, they're going to come, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. And then there are some that God doesn't call, and there's nothing we can do to make Him call. Well, you better read the Bible if you believe that. He says, all day long have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. God is stretching forth His hand, but they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't. They refused. Gainsaying means they're not only disobedient, but they're obstinate. In other words, they adamantly say, no. No, God, I have no interest in that. They take the Word of God. They parade it past the judgment bar of their mind. They make up a jury of themselves, and they say, I just don't think so. I'm not going to obey that. Friend, the operation of our faith is obedience to God. It's obedience to God. You're not saved by faith and works. You're saved by faith that does work. And if it hasn't changed your life, if it doesn't get down into the shoe leather, if it doesn't get down into your heart, if it doesn't make you a different person, if it doesn't call you to obey the Word of God, don't tell me you have faith. Don't tell me you're on your way to heaven. Faith without works is dead. That's what James said. Now, you're not saved because of your works. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, if you're saved, you will work. The Bible says that God has stretched forth His hands to people who say no to Him. They say no to Him. They reject Him. No to Him. God says, I've stretched forth my hands all day long to disobedient people, to gainsaying, obstinate people. They've not all obeyed the gospel. So when you believe, you obey. Great Invitation Song says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you follow me tonight, the object of faith is God. Know Him. The origin of faith is the Word of God. Hear Him. The objective of faith is the will of God. Submit to Him. It's heaven's way of getting God's will done on earth. And the operation of that faith in my life, in your life, is obedience to God, saying, yes, Lord, yes. And that brings me to one last thing. For you that are extra intellectual, you say, Pastor, I hear you, but is faith the gift of God? Absolutely. Sure it is. Does that mean if it's the gift of God, does that mean if God gives it, then I'm automatically going to believe? And that's the argument to this. And the answer to that is no, it does not mean that. Breathing is a gift of God as well. God gives me lungs and God gives us air, and that's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, but I can smother myself if I want to. Be foolish, but I could. Faith is a gift of God. God gives you His Word, and God gives you His Spirit. And then God says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. All day long, God says, I've stretched forth my hands to a disobedient people, to an obstinate people. And so I tell you, it's time. It's time right now for some of you, if you're lost, to do the most wonderful thing that you could possibly do, and that is trust this God for salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. You put your hand of faith into God's hand of grace, and salvation takes place. Faith. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.